Now, Nikki Verd contacted me in the week and she said, listen, this ChatGPT thing and this AI thing, which we touched on with Dr. Rose on Monday past, is a fascinating thing. And she says she's positioned there right at the cutting edge of developments, and she can give us some more insights. And she's got the key to the time machine, and she's going to describe what the future looks like, because I suggested that especially ChatGPT and the fundamentals that it proposes is about a future way beyond what we can see, way beyond the horizon. And I'm not quite certain what it looks like. So take us into your time machine, Nikki Verd. Take us into this future of AI.
Oh, wow. That is quite an intro. Thank you, Clarence. And maybe a quick disclaimer, it's not my time machine. It is something that has been released into the world, and we are all still trying to figure out what this is all about. So no one is an expert on this yet.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay, but I think we can glean from Star Trek and the sci-fi movies that we watch from time to time of what could be or should we not be too, or not be necessarily looking forward to what it's been kind of, what has been proposed by Hollywood. That could not be the reality necessarily, right?
I think that we are living in the time where sci-fi and reality are very much related now. It's hard to really tell the difference. We are officially in that age, so to say. But as regarding the future of artificial intelligence, we are still seeing it evolving, but I can say that a technology like ChatGPT has taken artificial intelligence mainstream, unlike anything before. And so we are officially in the age of artificial intelligence, and we are all trying to figure it out.
Yeah, we're not intelligent enough, and you're going to help us get to that particular space. And I think we need to understand exactly what AI is. AIs. We need to understand what AI is, and we need to understand how it's going to impact our lives. And maybe you can just generally induct us.
AI has been with us for quite some time. Like I mentioned earlier, it's just that ChatGPT took it mainstream, and now there is more attention on artificial intelligence than more than ever before. It's not a new thing per se. ChatGPT is a new thing, but artificial intelligence is not a new thing. It's artificial intelligence is basically an area of technology where systems or softwares are being put in place that make human interaction with machines much more easier, much more like you're interacting with a person, but it's a machine, then hence the intelligence side of it. So it's more like you're having an interaction with a person, but it's not really a person, but it's a machine. So AI is not a new thing. It's been here. It's constantly evolving. But with ChatGPT, now we are seeing beyond an exponential aspect of technology. This is beyond exponential. This is more like a quantum leap. So we are seeing a time where we do not even, understand systems, how systems are interacting with people are interacting with systems, and how human beings are being sort of pushed to the side, you know. So we are officially in that era, if you understand what I mean.
Yeah. How did you, Nikki, find this affinity with AI, what it represents, and where it's going? Tell us about your personal journey in relation to AI.
Oh, great. Since publishing my book late 2019, just before COVID-19 happened, my book titled Disrupt Yourself or Be Disrupted, I was looking at technology as a whole and how emerging technologies are impacting the world of work. So when I wrote that book, it sort of threw me in this space of technology where I sort of now started paying more attention to the world of technology more than before. Prior to me writing the book, I was in the corporate world like many people, and then I got retrained. So when I got retrained, it was more like, it's a story I've told at Cape Talk before because I've had an interview with you guys, I think last year. So I've told the story before. I don't want to get into that, but that particular point in my life of me being restrained. One thing led to another. I wrote the book, and the book threw me in the tech space. So for the past 3 years or so, I have been paying more attention to technology, following the trends, seeing what is happening, what is coming up new, how are people reacting to this, how is the world receiving this, how are people responding to this, and all of that. That is really my journey into the tech space.
Okay, and clearly, by this little journey and your exposure to it, you know that we've got to be learning different things in order to be future fit, right? And you also suggest that we are not there, and we're not equipping young people, the children of today, for that particular future. What is it that you'd like to see?
One of the big things that I would like to see in schools is the integration of artificial intelligence into the school system. There are a lot of talks around banning ChatGPT from schools, and I really don't think that is the wise thing to do. I don't think that is something that schools should really implement, because the school system currently is still not catching up with the world that we currently have. And so if the world is constantly evolving and the school system is banning new systems that are coming into the workplace, I feel that we'll be preparing children or kids for the world that no longer exists. This is what I mean. If ChatGPT is completely banned from school, and I do understand the reason why it wants to be banned from school, like it's taking away creativity from school, critical thinking, and things that are making kids basically lazy. I do get that part of it. But also, the future, from what I am foreseeing, artificial intelligence, understanding how to interact with artificial intelligence systems, understanding how to communicate with artificial intelligence, is going to be a key skill in the future. And if we kind of remove that from the school system, and then when the children graduate, they are thrown into the world that is interacting with artificial intelligence, how are they going to cope? They will not find it easy to be able to communicate with these systems, because in schools they were completely shut out of this. So I feel that the school should find a way to integrate these systems into their curriculum. Artificial intelligence should actually be taught in schools and be teaching kids how to communicate with these systems. I'll give an example for myself. When ChatGPT was released, my first week on the platform, my first week on OpenAI, I struggled to prompt I struggled to prompt it to get exactly what I wanted. But my second week was a bit better. I knew exactly how to ask the questions. My third week, my fourth week, and up till now, I keep getting better at understanding how to prompt this software so that it gives me sort of close to at least what I want. So that is a skill I am learning. And if our schools are, you know, stopping our kids from learning this skill, I think that they are doing them a disservice.
Yeah. But I think you're also giving us a clue as to where young people are at. I have no doubt they are experimenting long before the eagle has landed at school level. So they are probably empowering themselves, and they probably understand it as much as you do now.
Yes, I think that the kids of today are born and are being raised with technology, born into technology, raised with technology, hanging around all sort of gadgets and things like that. So the kids are there. What is lacking is that the system is not there yet. The system, when kids are at home, they are so exposed to technology. When they get to school, they are in a completely different world. And that is conflicting with the children. So the children are very much ready. They want to explore these systems. They want to see how it works. But the school system is not giving them that. And I feel that it's one of the reasons kids may not enjoy going to school. They may hate school and all of that. And secondly, I believe that the school system or the education system as a whole should be at the forefront of driving innovation. Not shielding innovations from school. Yeah. What is the point of having an education system that is not driving innovation, that is always playing catch-up? It doesn't even make sense when you think about it. New innovations like this should be coming from our education systems, but they come from somewhere else, and they, when they're trying to get into the education system, they are shielding it that it's not happening. The education system should be at the forefront of digital transformation, but when we look at the education system today, that is not happening. The schools, and most schools are still writing on paper, most schools are still carrying books and all of that. Where is the digital transformation happening in school? And yet this is the school system that is training the people, the future workforce, training them on paper, and they will come out and interact with machines. Just think about that. So there is really a long way that the school system still needs to go to be,
okay,
to be able to train the next generation of workers.
I'm chatting to Nikki Verd, Understanding AI and ChatGPT. Nikki Verd, tech enthusiast and author of Disrupt Yourself or Be Disrupted. Nikki, I wanted just to understand. So you were there playing with ChatGPT for 2 weeks. In the first week, you say you were clumsy. And then in the second week, you learned how to structure your questions in response to your need. Now, what was it that... What was your need? What was your objective? What were you seeking to get from ChatGPT? It is that, it is that kind of role that I'm trying to understand. So what were you seeking to achieve in a nutshell?
Okay, in a nutshell, as a writer and within the tech industry, I do a lot of research. So ChatGPT has cut down my research time into half, more than half,
okay,
as you actually put it.
So you wanted it to research for you?
Oh, yeah. I ask the same questions that I would normally ask on Google. When I ask the same question on Google, Google will give me millions and millions of options to go through.
Yes.
When I ask on ChatGPT, it brings it down to close to almost exactly what I am looking for. So that is the difference. So for those who do a lot of research, this platform, it cuts down your research time to
What exactly were you researching, Nikki?
Well, I research around technology and digital transformation, okay, digital skills, future of work, and all of that, things around the tech industry.
I was going to suggest that you were being lazy, but then I remembered, back in the day, we used Encyclopedia Britannica, and I'm Googling too, so I'm not going to throw that one at you.
Can I speak to that aspect of laziness?
You're welcome. But can you hold that thought for us? Because we're going to go do some shopping. We're coming back and continuing this conversation with you in a short while. Is that okay, Nikki?
Sure.
Stay where you are.
Business happens everywhere. That's why you deserve the benefits of fast, seamless, and reliable internet. Thinking fiber? You shouldn't. Because fiber now has competition, and it's called Business Uncapped Wireless. MTN Business is in the spotlight this week on Cape Talk with their Business Uncapped Wireless solutions. Find out how you can connect seamlessly and do business anywhere. Don't miss MTN Business in the spotlight this week on Cape Talk. MTN, what are we doing today?
At Imvakalelo Digital, they don't compromise on the quality and service of digital printing. Their passion for printing and service delivery excellence underpins everything that they do. From pre-press and printing to finishing, parking, or rather packing and distribution, they offer the best quality, performance, and services made easier by their ability to complete all elements of their project in-house. For superior, innovative, and cost-effective printing solutions for your marketing requirements, email Imvakalelo Digital at info@imvakalelo.com. Okay, Nikki Verd, our guest, she's an author. Her book, Disrupt Yourself or Be Disrupted, and that's our challenge to, of course, get to understand AI and its implications for our future, and ChatGPT specifically. So you were going to argue away the fact that you may have been or may not have been lazy, right?
Yes. No, it's really not laziness. I was speaking about this to the lady a few weeks ago, and she said the same thing. She says she's not allowing her daughter, who is a student, to use it because it will make her lazy, right? And I was like, well, that seems valid on paper. It kind of makes sense. But when you really dig into it, it doesn't at all. If we can backtrack, let's take a step back from the old innovations that we are very comfortable with it now. When typewriters came out, imagine some people saying, if you're typing on that thing, you're lazy, instead of writing it on a piece of paper, right?
Typewriters, yeah.
When cell phones came out, imagine someone saying, I'm not going to call you. I would rather come to your house and give you the message in person to show you how committed and how strong and how whatever I am. So basically, it's the same argument if we are going to apply the laziness argument to ChatGPT.
I don't know if I agree with you, because there's something amazing about discovery. And in this particular instance, you're allowing discovery to happen by a machine. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. We have been doing that for years. Yeah, it's not a new thing.
A typewriter is just typing my words. It's my discovery. It's my learning. I'm just now reducing it to writing. ChatGPT is telling me what I must think. I'm worried about that.
Yes, I do get you. We're all worried about a lot of things when it comes to ChatGPT. I'm not speaking like I endorse everything about the software, okay? But what I'm simply saying is that this is the new innovation that is here right now, and it's taking the world by storm. And somehow we need to find a way to adapt rather than fighting it. Because when you fight a war against technology, the person who will lose is you, not the tech.
No, absolutely.
Trying to fight technology is like trying to hold back water, trying to hold back a river. It doesn't work. So as much as some of the arguments we have, some of the concerns we have are valid, this is here. Where to from here? That's the question. Where to from here? Do we completely shut it out to show the world how creative we are? And now look at it. In terms of the education system, the argument is that it will outsource kids' thinking to the machine, right? But when you look at exams, what is that? It's basically memorization and spitting it back on paper. Because I was once a student, when I wrote the exam, a week later, asked me, what was that? I can't even remember anything. All is that I memorized for that moment, wrote it, make sure I passed, and that was it. But memorization now has been outsourced to a machine, which is ChatGPT, and there's no student who can beat that.
Yeah.
So if we are going to be playing this game of is it the human who is better at memorizing or a machine who is better at memorizing, us humans, we're already losing that battle. Because this is basically what it is. Yeah. Who can memorize better in terms of the school argument? And again, when innovations like the internet, when it came up and emails and things like that, you wouldn't sit back and say, I'm not sending you an email. I would rather come, again to your house to deliver the message myself. So these are things that
I miss those days.
You get my point. So there may be some truth to the aspect of laziness.
I want
to
give you
innovation is here.
I want to give you an example. It's not hypothetical. It is absolutely possible. So there's this organization called Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI. It's a pretty big and respected research group based in the US. Now, the head of this research kind of think tank, whatever it is, was asked about extraterrestrial intelligence. And he suggested that extra intelligence were able to understand what's happening here on Earth, etc., or even fly to Earth, must be very, very kind of evolved. And he thinks that such intelligence could very be in machine kind of form, because, us biological kind of systems are vulnerable to all kinds of stuff like silly stuff like death. He would give a machine all of Google, so the sum total of human knowledge, to consume and make sense of it, and then give that machine an instruction to improve itself, and that kind of sparked an understanding for me on how, not incrementally but exponentially, AI can come to bite us, come back to bite us.
Yeah, definitely there is that aspect to it, is true. Elon Musk has been warning people about the dangers of AI for the past couple of years. I think that's when people are starting to pay attention to now. And some people brush him off. And I always say, this man works with AI on a daily basis. All of his businesses are built around AI. He knows what he's seeing. So when he's saying that we should pay attention to AI, there should be some regulations really around this. We should listen to him, right? I'll give you an example from, there's a subset of AI called deepfake. Okay, for me, that is probably the most dangerous aspect of AI, because deepfake is basically about you take a real person's face, or you take a real person's voice, or you take a real person's image, and you use it on the internet. It could be on a video or could be on anything. And it sounds like they are the ones saying this thing, but it's not them. Meaning that you could watch a video of your favorite person or your favorite actor or your whatever online, and you think they are saying this, but it's not them. That's deepfake. All right. And the recent one that happened that has also caused a lot of friction on the internet is where a YouTuber, a famous YouTuber, her face was used on a pornographic video. It's not her, but for people who watch that video, they believe it's her.
Okay, I get you. We have to wrap up, unfortunately. It's been a fascinating encounter, and thank you for my little discoveries along the way. I now have more questions, Nikki. Nikki Bird, author and technology enthusiast. Of course, author of the book Disrupt Yourself or Be Disrupted. Thank you for your time.